This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Fall semester starts this week and next at thousands of colleges and universities, and while students and parents adjust to transitions, they may not focus so much on the price and the value of that education. A new survey by the Gallup Organization for Sallie Mae confirms conventional wisdom. Almost everybody regards higher education as an investment for the future, but how we pay for it can create ripple effects well into the future, and the survey shows that many people don't consider the cost of college as they select their school, don't think about how much costs may change over 4 years, and that many do not consider post-graduation income when they make these decisions. So how much will it cost, and how much should that factor into your decisions? Later in the hour, waiting on a text message for news on the bottom of the Democratic Party ticket. But first, how did you make your decisions on where to go to college or where to send your child? Was cost a big factor? 800-989-8255 is our phone number. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. We begin with Tom Joyce, Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications for Sallie Mae, which is the nation's leading provider of saving and paying for college programs. He's with us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
And Tom, we had an email we solicited yesterday from June in Tallahassee, Florida, which says, my brand-oriented daughter thinks she needs an expensive way out-of-state college degree. University of Florida is the obvious good in-state school. She's looking at Pomona, Berkeley, Stanford, Georgetown, and others. She will have to take out considerable loans. We can't foot that bill unless she gets some great scholarship. We've told her to apply anywhere, and then we'll see. Well, I know you've worked on some calculations for June using a special online planner you have at SallieMae.com. Tell us what you found.
Sure. Yeah, we do have a new planner, Neil, called Education Investment Planner. And just plugging in a couple of the schools that your emailer suggested just showed the remarkable difference that one can have, not only in the cost of college, but in the obligations one's going to have after college, which, of course, is such an important topic today. For example, the emailer is living in Florida. Their daughter is an in-state resident, could attend the University of Florida approximately, not knowing all of the person's situation in terms of financial aid, could approximately go for about $53,000, 4 years total cost.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. But if they go to California, out of state, to a terrific school, a terrific private college in Pomona, the total cost skyrockets to $220,000.
They could buy a house for that.
They could buy a house. It's almost another mortgage. So that's not to say that Pomona might not be the right school or the right choice, but boy, that's a cost that has to be factored in.
And it's this planner that you've put on your website. What's the point of it? To make people think about those long-term costs?
Absolutely. I mean, first off, it's available at SallieMae.com/plan, and the key part of this tool is to get people not just to realize that there are different colleges out there that they can go to, but to really compare the costs and to take a look at their plan, what financial aid might be available to them, knowing full well that it may change over time, and then also what their loan or lending obligations may be once they get out of school.
And another surprising thing in this survey done for you by the Gallup organization was that people don't really think all that much about future income, your postgraduate earnings.
No, they don't. I mean, roughly 70% of people don't take that into consideration at all. And, you know, part of this is America, right? I mean, we should not, you know, but there's a part of us that thinks strongly that I'm going to go follow my dream. And certainly we support that. And I think we'd all support that. But there's a cost associated, and one needs to be reminded of that before they take on a major obligation.
Well, also with us here in Studio 3A is Scott Jasik. He's the editor of Inside Higher Ed, an online publication for college and university faculty. And it's nice to have you back in the program, Scott.
Thank you.
Why is the cost of a college education not the number one concern?
Because students care about so many other things. They care about the program. They care about the experience. A Pomona college, to take that previous example, is very different from a large state university. So if they're a traditional age undergrad, they care about the experience. If they're an older non-traditional student, they may care about convenience or flexibility of program.
Now, there can be, as Tom suggested, there can be occasions when you could get a greater value out of a more expensive, smaller college out of state.
Absolutely. Some of the things you need to look at are how long does it take a typical student to graduate? 4 years isn't 4 years everywhere. And so 6 years at a less expensive institution might be the reality. Especially in recessionary periods like we're entering, states tend to cut budgets or limit their increases, so you have canceled sections. You have reductions in academic advising, the kinds of things that help a student get through in four. Smaller colleges like a Pomona tend to be much better at getting you in and out in four.
But if you're going to be one of those people, Tom, who needs to work 40 hours a week in order to pay for your college tuition, that's going to be difficult if you're going to one of those schools.
Boy, watch out. I mean, several generations ago, I think it was possible to, quote-unquote, work your way through school over a four-year period. Now it's a very, very difficult thing to do, even at a state school where you're a resident.
And are there estimates on the average load of loans that students emerge from college with?
Well, there are several estimates. The average, roughly, that undergrads who borrow leave school with is about $19,000 in debt. Those who borrow, not everyone borrows.
Mm-hmm.
What you see in our study is about the good news is that most students who do borrow are borrowing the federal loans first, which is what they should do. That's certainly what we counsel students to do every day, is to take advantage of free money first, grants and scholarships, exhaust every dollar and dime you can, then max out your federal loans, because those are going to be the cheapest source of loans you're going to find. And then, and only if needed and only if necessary, tap the private education loan market.
So if you've got decisions to make about where to go to college, maybe next year, give us a call. Give us two options, and we'll try to run through the calculations for you in our control room and get an answer for you. 800-989-8255. We want to find out how you make the decisions about where to send your kids, or if you're the kid, where you're applying for college and how much cost and value factor into that. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Mark is on the line. Mark with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Well, I was just going to mention that, I'm old enough that it just wasn't that expensive to go to a state university. But when my oldest son graduated from high school, I told him that he could go anywhere he wanted. I had a fund of money that was from a trust fund that was set up by his grandfather before my younger son was born, and I would have been willing to have spent the additional money if he'd have wanted to go to a Princeton or someplace like that. However, he chose, of his own volition, to go to Oklahoma State University, and as it turns out, it was about four times what it was when I was in school at the University of Oklahoma, but it was still basically what I considered a bargain, even living there and so forth. Now, my younger son went to Oklahoma. He graduated from Oklahoma State University also, but and I had probably would have had a more difficult time giving him his choice.
Had it been Princeton, yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, had it been Princeton.
Pardon me?
It would have a harder time giving him his choice had it been Princeton.
Well, I gave him his choice, but he ended up getting a 100% scholarship, and he could have chosen from the Army, and he could have chosen any university that was willing to take him, and he had excellent grades, and he chose to go to Oklahoma State, and I'm sitting there looking at him saying, boy, you could have gone to Harvard if you
okay.
wanted to, and he had good enough grades to get in, but he did what he wanted to do. Now, he's a career Army officer. The other one went to grad school and became a hospital administrator.
So it sounds like they both got a lot of value out of their college educations.
Well, they did, but unfortunately my oldest son's wife spent a ton of money going to a private university in Texas, Baylor, and when she graduated, she was tens of thousands of dollars in debt on student loans, and they've been married for 10 years, and they're still paying on her student loans.
Well, that can happen to a lot of people. Anyway, Mark, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Obviously, to get 100% free ride, well, that's one way to pay for college. But, Scott Jasek, as you look at it, a lot of people are tapping into their savings, even paying with credit cards.
Some people are. Credit cards is not something I think many people would advise as a good way to pay. I think what the previous call may demonstrate is that every situation is unique, and people need to be very careful about judging things based on what they hear overall. Many of the most expensive private colleges, hardly anyone there pays the full sticker price. At many large public universities, there are honors colleges that in some ways replicate a small private college experience. So you really need to dig deep to see what the experience will be.
Let's get Adam on the line, and Adam's with us from Sonoma in California.
Oh, hi. My concern is with the FAFSA process.
The FAFSA process. We're just going to look at Tom Joyce and ask him to explain the FAFSA process.
The famous FAFSA. The FAFSA is the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. It is the form that one fills out on an annual basis in order to get federal, state financial aid, as well as access the loan program, the federal loan program.
So, Adam, you're basing your decisions on that?
Well, here's my concern. I just launched my son across the country to the University of Miami, and he got into three private schools. We did the FAFSA. We were given an estimated family contribution. And I liken this to kind of the EPA mileage estimates on the car. We all know they're well exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, neither of the schools came anywhere near our expected family contribution. Miami was significantly closer, which is definitely one of the reasons why he chose that school.
Well, give us one of the other ones, and we'll do the calculation for you.
Okay, Berklee College of Music.
Berklee College of Music. Okay, that's up in Boston, Massachusetts.
That's right. And then California Institute for the Arts, which is in north of Los Angeles.
All right. Well, we'll run the numbers on those. I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
We're going to run the numbers on those, and we'll get some estimates as soon as we get back from a short break. So we're going to ask Scott Jasik, the editor of Inside Higher Ed, to stay with us. Also with us, Tom Joyce, Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications for Sallie Mae. We're talking about, well, the cost of college, and how much do you figure it is over 4 years? How much does that factor into your choices? How you're going to pay for all of that factors into, well, what major you take and how much you're going to pay, how much you're going to earn after you get out of 4 years of college. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Today we're talking about how you make decisions on where to go to college, where to send your child. Was cost a major factor? Did you consider how much he or she would earn with that degree after graduation? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Give us a couple of choices. We'll run the calculations for you on Sallie Mae's new college cost calculator. Our guests are Tom Joyce, Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications for Sallie Mae, and Scott Jasik, Editor of Inside Higher Ed, an online publication for college and university faculty. And let's see if we can get Adam's back on the line. Adam with us from Sonoma in California. And Adam, your child went to the University of Miami. The choice that we did run a number on the Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, and that would have run $192,000, $192,199 for 4 years, and for the California Institute for the Arts, $185,928. Again, we're making a bunch of assumptions in there, but those are ballpark numbers. Have you figured out how much the University of Miami is going to charge you?
About the same.
Really?
Yes.
There's some differences, though, Scott Jasik, between a big public university like the University of Miami and these specialized schools.
Well, if we're talking University of Miami in Florida, it's private. But if you look at...
Oh, excuse me. My mistake.
But this example, my guess is our student is a budding artist. And so it points to the need to think about what happens after graduation. Many budding artists don't get rich, or they certainly don't get rich very quickly. So debt is going to be a big issue. And you might want to think about minimizing debt so that that artist can take the job he or she wants. If you are going into nursing or a health professions field or a field where you'll get a job on graduation day, debt may be less risky.
And by the way, just ran the numbers on the University of Miami, $192,932. So, Adam, it turns out that was the most expensive.
It was, but they gave us the best financial aid package. So, therefore, it actually isn't for us over the course of 4 years.
And that financial aid package, Tom Joyce, absolutely critical.
Absolutely. And one of the things that the Sallie Mae Gallup study found, and this is shocking to us, was that about a quarter of families, 25% or so, are not even filling out the federal financial aid forms, the FAFSA form. And that means they are leaving money on the table almost automatically. First off, they're not going to be able to participate in the federal student loan programs. But secondly, they may be leaving federal and state aid, other types of aid on the table. 25% is a shockingly high number.
Adam, thanks very much for the call, and we wish your son the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So long. Let's see if we can go now to Kim, and Kim's with us from Panama City in Florida.
Yes, I have a quick question. I have a teenager in high school and in the honors program. Her dream has been to attend an Ivy League school for the prestige of the name.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already paid for her college through the Florida prepaid college program, so she can attend any public college within the state without, you know, if it's paid for. We paid for that when she was born. Or she can attend University of Florida or Florida State on a full scholarship. How do we balance the prestige of an Ivy League against the full scholarship? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Okay, Kim, thanks very much for the call. Well, Scott Jasek, any way to calculate that?
I don't think you can calculate it in a financial way with numbers, but I think you want to think about things less about prestige and more about the quality of the experience. What is the specific experience this student wants? Will it be available at the University of Florida or only in the Ivy League? I think there are reasons why the great universities are known as great, but it is possible to get a great, absolutely great education at the University of Florida. I tend to think people should get into what courses do I want to take? What students do I want to study with? What is my experience, not pure prestige?
And she also said something very interesting there, Tom Joyce, and that's the prepay program. What are those?
Well, first off, Kim ought to be congratulated to have saved that much and to be having those kind of choices. Obviously, her child should be congratulated for academically having those choices. But the prepaid college plans or 529 plans or a number of other tax advantage plans that are out there are terrific ways to save for college. And one of the things our study found was, unfortunately, very few people are taking advantage of those tools. Now, many of them are new and have not been around for a long time. We would hope we'd see that usage go up. But right now, only about 9% of families are tapping those sort of tax advantage college savings plans. The good news is, of those that are doing it, they are contributing a significant amount to their education, much like Kim is doing in Florida.
And we just ran the numbers. Harvard for 4 years, $205,757. University of Florida, though she said she would have gotten a free ride because of the prepay program, $46,591. So, again, if you were just going in without any of those advantages, a huge price and difference.
But be careful there. Harvard has just announced the most generous aid packages in America. And unless this family is very wealthy, that's not what they're going to pay.
Because Harvard has that huge endowment, so they will figure out what you can afford or where your
yes.
earnings bracket would peg you at. And if it's less than what the tuition is, they'll pay
more
for the rest.
More than half of Harvard students will not be paying anything close to that.
And that's a terrific point that Scott raises, which is the sticker shock that so many parents and students get. They see headlines about a particular college or colleges in general, and they're scared away from either applying or from looking into particular schools. You really ought to take a look and make sure, because of your particular circumstances, either income, where you reside, et cetera, you may pay far less than the sticker price.
But one thing you may not calculate is the price may change over the years, and certainly the price of the what percentage of aid you're going to get can change over the years.
Absolutely can. That's why it's another reason to use available tools that are out there to plan ahead.
Let's get Courtney on the line. Courtney's with us from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 15-year-old who's a sophomore in high school and two children, one who's out of college and one who's in college, extendedly in college. And we came to the conclusion with this younger child that it would be much better for her to go to the state school, any state school in Arizona. My husband's an employee here, so we get a discount, because undergraduate education can be about the same if you're not going for a special program, you know, a liberal arts education. It's the same as any private school in the sense of the kind of courses you can take. So we're interested in having her stay here in school in Arizona so that we can take advantage of the discounts. And then when she goes on later, hopefully, to a special degree or a special program as a graduate student, that she can go to the college that will take her with the best, you know, financial package.
The one who's in school now, extended school, where is he or she?
He's at the University of Michigan. He went there for music and had a change of heart. And now to get him finished with school has been quite a nightmare. And what we're doing this year with him is sending him to Eastern Michigan, which is another state school in Ypsilanti right next to Ann Arbor, for about a third of the cost. The cost to send him to school this year at Ann Arbor was $33,400.
As opposed to Eastern Michigan, which is?
Eastern Michigan, I believe, is around $10,000 for the year.
So, again, a considerable difference in price. And it sounds like this is something that you really took into account.
Yeah, I mean, this is because he's got one, this is his final year. And what's going to happen is he'll be able to transfer his credits back to Michigan and actually get his degree from the University of Michigan. It's one of those, they have a partnership.
And
so it's a cost saving for us.
By the way, you said you get a discount at Arizona State, but if it was full freight by the time your kid got there, it would be $55,000 for 4 years.
Exactly. I mean, it's she can go to University of Arizona, Arizona State, or Northern Arizona.
Okay.
So she can have her choice within the family of state schools here, as long as my husband's employed.
Do your kids resent the fact that these money calculations are going into restricting their choices to some degree?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your comment.
Do your kids resent the fact that money is restricting their choices?
My son is a little miffed about it because it's his last year, but, you know, you only have so much money, you know. And but he still will get his degree from the University of Michigan, so he's sort of on board with that. My daughter, she's too young to really get a grip on this whole financial issue. She wants to stay in state, as a matter of fact.
But
we're lucky that way. My other daughter, my older daughter, went to Emerson in Boston, and that really killed us for, you know, but she got done in 3 years and two summers, so we were happy about that.
Well, Emerson, that's an expensive school. Anyway, thanks very much, Courtney. We appreciate the call, and we wish your daughter good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see. One of the things, and I guess, Scott, a lot of people, well, of course you'll be out in 4 years.
And that's just not necessarily true, especially at a large public university. All courses are not the same. All freshman and sophomore courses aren't the same. And that's not to say you can't get a great education at Arizona State, but it's different from the University of Michigan and different from Emerson. I would look carefully at what program the sophomore daughter really needs before being sure that it's identical.
Not talking about this case in particular, but across the board, is there some idea of a social contract that kids these days think that the parents will pay for whatever school they can get into?
I think some certainly think that, but again, we need to be very careful between sort of the 18-year-old of privilege who may assume that, and many who from a very young age have a different set of expectations. An awful lot of students aspire to go to the best public that's near them and view that as the natural course of things. Many people just assume that the only college they'll go to is a college they can commute to.
Let's see if we can get Mark on the line, and Mark's with us from Colfax in Wisconsin.
Hello.
Hi.
My daughter goes to University of Wisconsin-Stout, which is about 20 miles from here. For her schooling and her room and board, it costs about $14,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get any scholarships, and so we had to take out loans. Other than her Stafford loan, then, it has to come to what they call a Federal Plus loan, which is for families. That means three-quarters of her $55,000 to $60,000 debt is going to be in my name and not hers. And I'm wondering if people realize that this, that's the way this works.
Do people realize that, Tom Joyce?
Well, some do and some don't. But the PLUS program is a parent loan program. It's used by, and our study found, you know, about 6% of all parents take out a PLUS loan. But of those who borrow, a significant number do. About 36% of parents take it out. Now, it is a federally advantaged program, meaning the rates are kept at a certain level. There are a lot of friendly terms to that loan. It is typically going to be a much better loan than taking a private loan out, either under your students, under the child's name, or even under the parent's name. But that said, it's another clarion call to make sure you understand your debt obligations.
And how long do you suspect you're going to be paying off that loan, Mark?
Well, they set it up for 10 years that you need to pay that off. But if you do have problems, I'm just a blue-collar worker, and as she keeps going on in years and it gets higher, you can't always make the full payment. They are willing to work with you and go where you could just pay the interest for a while. But the other thing I noticed this year, too, is when we got the loan, it specifically says that loan cannot be consolidated into the student's name.
Well, Mark, good luck.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. And we're talking about the cost of college. Our guests are Tom Joyce of Sallie Mae and Scott Jasek of the editor of Inside Higher Ed. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can go now to Caroline. Caroline with us from Monson, Ohio.
Hi. I am going to be a freshman at Yale University this fall.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited. I'm in Calvin College, and I'm looking forward to it a lot. But the process which led me to my freshman year was definitely a difficult one, specifically financially. As a student who's very active in the community, specifically with fostering education programs around environmental topics, I had the opportunity to compete for various scholarships at different institutions. I applied to 14 schools, and at one of those, the University of Virginia, I received a full ride with stipends. And at Vanderbilt University, I received a full tuition scholarship. And I received substantial scholarships at the Ohio State University as well.
And you opted for Yale.
Yes, I did. I actually accepted the University of Virginia, but then upon further reflection felt that that the best school for me was Yale, given my intended area of study, the environmental sciences, and also the academic environment. When experiencing all three of these schools, I felt that Yale provided the best environment in terms of what I was looking for.
And it's also going to ask you, we're just calculating here, not knowing, but it's going to ask you for over $200,000 over 4 years.
Yes, sir. That is quite a substantial investment, and unfortunately, my family does not qualify for any financial aid.
So how are they going to pay for it?
Well, my parents' home equity line of credit is going to be a substantial contribution, and I am still waiting to hear from a couple of scholarship programs through which I may have earned academic scholarships, but it's really going to come down to my family making sacrifices. I have a younger brother who is 14. He's going to be heading into high school this year, and unfortunately, it's a real burden on me to see my family having to make sacrifices, every single day.
And that home line of equity credit is not going to be available for him.
Exactly, and it concerns me that that I'm taking sort of a chunk out of what could be my younger brother's future.
And did your parents ever say, University of Virginia, fine school?
Actually, they both attended fantastic universities. My father on a presidential scholarship, which ensures him a lifetime scholarship to Harvard University. And so for him, finances were not ever an issue because he earned that scholarship.
Right.
And both of my parents, my mother attended Cornell, and she said that education is an investment that you make once in your life, and it is an investment upon which you must build your entire future.
And I don't mean to cut you off, Caroline, but I did want to get from Scott Jessica. And thanks very much for the call, and have
a
great time at Yale. But boy, home equity, that's a risky proposition.
Well, the problem is that right now, with the changes in the housing market, many families who may have thought they could have gone the home equity route may have a more difficult time with that. But what I think this caller illustrates is that there are many, many students and families willing to make deep sacrifices to pay big bucks for what they consider the perfect college experience for their child. The most expensive colleges in the country have many more applicants than they could possibly take and could probably double their tuitions and still have them.
Scott Jasik, the editor of Inside Higher Ed. Also with us, Tom Joyce, Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications at Sallie Mae. We'll take a couple of more questions about how do you pay for college? How do you make these decisions based on cost and value of that education? Also, she's in it for the text. Why one columnist is dying for Barack Obama's text message about his vice presidential selection. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Here are headlines from some of the stories we're following today here at NPR News. The price of oil jumped by $5 a barrel today. Fears about souring relations with Russia helped push the price up to $122 a barrel. And Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice made a surprise visit to Baghdad today. Iraq and the U.S. there reached a preliminary agreement to withdraw American combat troops from Iraqi cities by June. The Status of Forces Agreement still needs the approval of the Iraqi parliament. Details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow at Science Friday, Ira Flatow will be here with a look at how technology has revolutionized movies from silent films to Toy Story, plus the latest in chemistry research from frizzy hair and miniature spacecraft to making hydrogen fuel. That's tomorrow's Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Right now, let's wrap up our conversation about the cost of college and how we make decisions on where to go and what to study. Tom Joyce is with us. He's with the Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications at Sallie Mae. Also with us, Scott Jasik, editor of Inside Higher Ed, an online publication for college and university faculty. Just before the break, we had a caller who's decided to go to Yale University. Here's an email following up on that from Allison in San Francisco. My husband and I both went to expensive private schools, Harvard and Dartmouth. Neither of us were at the top of our class. However, I can't tell you how much easier it's been to secure jobs because of our education. I'm certain our resumes float to the top of the pile simply based on the name of the school. We're both in our 40s, and every time we've had a job interview, the impressive school has been mentioned. I really think it has increased our ability to secure excellent jobs as adults. And Scott Jasik, is that true, do you think?
It's certainly true that people are impressed by names, but you know what? UVA is a pretty impressive name, too. I wouldn't rule out Publix as also having very good career connections.
And I know, Tom Joyce, you wanted to follow up on the use of the line of credit on their home.
Yeah, this is such a huge issue right now, Neil, given what's going on in the real estate markets. The expectation of those parents that do use home equity. Now, our study found, luckily, that that number is relatively low. Overall, only about 3% of parents are spending significant dollars on home equity for college. But of those that are, they're spending a lot of money out of their home equity line, and the predominant majority expect that it's going to be there in future years just to pay for college. And that's, boy, that's a dangerous alarm bell given where we are.
Here's another email. This is from Denise. My son is a junior in high school in Ohio. He wants to go to the University of Tennessee. However, we also want to look at in-state. Please compare the costs of University of Tennessee versus an in-state Ohio school such as Bowling Green. He's also considering moving to Tennessee for a year to establish residency. Is this a viable option? We are in between income. We make too much to qualify for much financial aid, we think, and don't make enough to pay for college outright. And boy, a lot of people find themselves in that category. But we've done the calculations. Bowling Green in-state would be $75,000 for a four-year education. University of Texas out-of-state would be $109,000. If they did qualify as in-state, UT would be $60,000. But boy, that's tricky, isn't it, Scott?
Yes. Before you move any place for residency, check the rules. State laws vary, and states don't like people moving just for the low in-state rates. So it's a better long-term strategy if you want to move where you want your toddler to go than a last-minute strategy.
Let's see if we can go to Venkat. Venkat with us from Redwood City in California.
I'm actually talking about my second son who's considering colleges both in California, the UC system, as well as Brown and Columbia, for instance, in the East Coast. Cost is always a factor, but a couple of other things do come into play in my mind. One is, how long does it take for you to, you know, complete your education? Given the UC system takes a lot of students in, I understand it takes students between 4 and 4.5 years to finish, whereas a private school, you get to take the classes as and when you want, and you could certainly finish in a shorter period of time. So it reduces the overall cost. Second one is, just to add to what the previous person had actually sent you an email about your ability to earn, and I also read other studies, you know, based on, you know, kids going to Stanford versus other schools, and they start off at a higher salary, and then it starts from there and then keeps going up from there. So, and the last one I have is about the class size and the kind of attention you can actually get from the professors. And the UC system, for the number of students in classes, sometimes it's like 500-600 students. You can only go get so much attention, whereas the private schools, you know, the size never exceeds in the 60-70-80 range.
We did the calculations for you, and again, we're making a whole bunch of assumptions, but Brown would run a $208,000 for 4 years. In-state Berkeley would be about $50,000 for 4 years. So, boy, that's a big difference.
It is a huge difference. Yeah, but I would like to have somebody actually address the fact that it could take a longer time. You're assuming that both of them will take 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible that Berkeley could take more than 4 years, whereas Brown could take up to 3 years if you're able to take the classes you can.
Scott?
Well, a lot of this also depends on the student. Is the student in question somebody who will be very aggressive and assertive and figure out, which classes do I need to get? How do I get in them? Know how to work the system? If so, maybe somebody can get out of Berkeley in 4 years. Somebody who needs more help with process may do better at a private, where they're going to make sure that you get out in 4 years. Okay. So you need to focus on the individual and their needs, as well as sort of these broad questions about the institutions.
So you're saying that you don't see a big difference in how long it takes people to finish between a state college versus a private school?
No, I'm saying there is a difference, right, but not every student takes 6 years to get out of a public. Some students know how to navigate and work the system. Somebody who lacks those skills is much more at risk of missing out at a large public than a smaller private.
Right. And just a quick question. Any difference you see in the earning capacity of the individual based on what school? So, I mean, I also listened to the email that somebody just sent about that.
Harvard, yeah.
Well, you also, again, need to think about the individual. Poets aren't making a ton of money coming out of Harvard or Berkeley, but computer scientists are doing quite well out of both.
Great. Thank you.
And I was just going to ask about that. Clearly, the hypothetical degree in poetry or philosophy, that's going to make a big difference, whether it's that or electrical engineering.
Of course. Now, it's also important to remember that there are lots of employers that want to hire smart people who know how to think, who know how to communicate, who know some history and writing. So you shouldn't assume that that's a dead end, but certainly other majors put you more on an easy track to instant employability.
And I think the key here to keep in this conversation is the investment almost always pays off. It is shown over and over again that the average lifetime earnings of a college graduate well exceeds that of a high school graduate by over $1 million over the course of a career. And for the types of students we're talking about on this show, likely far more than that amount. So the investment does pay off. It's just a question, again, of making sure you have all the numbers in front of you and making an informed decision.
And if people wanted to find that calculator, where would they go, Tom Joyce?
It's at sallymae.com/plan. It's called the Education Investment Planner.
And we'll put a link to it on our website at npr.org/talk, a blog of the nation. So, Tom Joyce, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Neil.
Tom Joyce, Senior Vice President for Corporate Communications at Sallie Mae, and Scott Jasek with us as well, the editor of Inside Higher Ed, an online publication for college and university faculty. Appreciate your time, too.
Thank you.
When we'll come back, we're waiting for a text message.